Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive, positively into the crab cake season. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Hope your leftovers are tasty. Send them over to me. I'll take all gravy and leftovers. I'll take the legs. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and GBMC. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. We will be out at various places 2 weeks from now, doing three in a row. We're going to be at Casas and Dundalk for the holiday week with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock. And that's become a little bit of a tradition. She reminds me of my mom anyway. And she was banging the skins with Cyndi Lauper in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago. Girls were just wanting to have fun, so we're going to look into that. We're also going to be at a new place called Honey's in Halethorpe. I'm looking forward to having some delicious Asian food over there, some Korean food, as well as a crab cake. And we're also going to be back at Deep Pasquale's having the Feast of the Seven Fishes. And I think Pete Carinci is going to join me too. Anybody who's Italian, I'm going to invite the whole Italian men's club that I spoke to a couple weeks ago to meet me at Deep Pasquale's for breakfast. Nancy Longo, good Italian girl, tells me they have great pizza there. This guy's wearing his Pizza John's hat, so I know he wants to get back to Pizza John's as well for the holidays. And it did not go well on Thanksgiving night on either side of the ball. I thought really we can discuss the offense that we have and Lamar and his health and all that, but Luke Jones, where are we with the defense in holding a bunch of field goals? I mean, it could have been a lot worse. If Burrow could have finished some drives, it really could have been uglier than a three-touchdown loss. It was a bad, memorably bad football game for the Ravens on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and look, we'll get into the defense in terms of the second half. The pass rush wasn't great. Pressure rate wasn't great. I mean, that was something that took a step back after, I think, seeing some encouraging movement in the right direction the last few weeks. But by and large, I can't hold the defense as accountable as the offense, right? You know, as culpable as the offense for what we saw on Thursday night. I mean, look back at that first half. Cincinnati was 0 for 4 inside the red zone. They spotted them the ball at the 2 yard line, and the defense made a goal line stand. Following drive, the Cincinnati gets the ball at midfield, right? I mean,
when you
it's
spot
not
the team the ball at the 2 yard line and don't get a point, you feel like we're gonna win.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
a
flip of a flip of a flip, really.
It was borderline miraculous that they were only down 12-7 at halftime when you consider how their offense had played in that first half. But you looked at it and you saw, well, Bengals ran 45 plays in the first half. Time of possession was about 2-1. You know, it was 20 minutes and 6 seconds to 9:54, almost on the dot, 2-1. That generally, Nestor, does not bode well for the rest of the game. And then when you couple that with Nate Wiggins exiting with a foot injury that, you know, John Harbaugh indicated it's not like season ending, but doesn't mean that he's not going to miss a game or two here. It adds up. And I think you saw a version of Joe Burrow that, let's face it, Cincinnati had a good opening script. You credit them for what they did on the opening drive. You credit the Ravens for tightening the belt inside the red zone, as we've seen them do so often. You know, it's not as though this defense has been elite between the 20s, but we've seen it be since they've made their improvements since early October when they made the changes and Gilman arrived and then Draymond Jones arrives at the trade deadline. They've certainly been really, really good in the red area and limiting the opposition to field goals rather than touchdowns. I mean, it's math. It's simple math, right? I mean, you don't have to be a football genius to figure that out. But the second half on Thursday night, the success that they had in high leverage, when you're talking about, especially in the red zone, but also on third down. I mean, Cincinnati was three of 11 on third down in that first half. And then they come out in the third quarter and the Ravens just couldn't get off the field. And now Cincinnati made some great plays. I mean, there are a couple great connections from Burrow to Chase, which, you know, that connection you could tell wasn't in midseason form. I think that was evident, but they still made some plays. I mean, the Tanner Hudson touchdown catch, I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, that's a one-handed catch with Kyle Hamilton in coverage on you. I mean, that's one of those where you begrudgingly tip the cap. That said, they didn't make Burrow nearly uncomfortable enough for my liking, knowing the toe, knowing that he hadn't played a game in over 2 months, and you're kind of wondering what his clock's going to
By the
be.
way,
And
he's really good, dude.
well, no
He's
question. I
just
mean,
really
there's no
good.
doubt, no question about it. But they didn't do enough to disrupt him. And, they didn't blitz a whole lot. When they did blitz, it didn't get home. I mean, we all saw it was a great pickup by what, P. Ryan on that one, big play. Malachi Starks had a missed coverage on the Yosavash touchdown. I mean, it wasn't good enough. It was all you could reasonably ask them to do defensively in the first half. That went away in the third quarter. And honestly, kind of predictable, right? I mean, you're not going to continue to hold them down to that extent if your offense is going to continue to not get the job done. I mean, you knew that you weren't going to continue to hold them to field goals if some things didn't change. And losing Wiggins hurt, and their pass rush, which hadn't been perfect the last few weeks, but I felt like was ascending. It felt like with Draymond Jones arriving and Mike Green being better over the last month or so, I guess Cleveland game aside, when he had an ankle and you could tell he wasn't right. But there were at least some signs there to say, okay, this is moving in the right direction. I don't know if it's going to be what it needs to be in January, but it feels better than it did 7 weeks ago. They took a step back in that way on Thursday night from me. So that's really my biggest takeaway from the defense. I mean, again, you're spotting them the ball. I mean, you turn it over 5 times, just you don't even have to say anything else. 5 turnovers. But then you consider the circumstances of some of that, where there was a goal line stand and they held them to, they're 0 for 4 inside the red zone in the first half. I mean, to your point, it could have been way worse. I mean, it was such an odd game in that way, because you look at like the likely play with the offense, and the offense could have scored more points, but their defense could have given up way more than 32. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the defense played well in the second half. And that was my lead question to Hamilton when he was on the, Kyle Hamilton, when he was on the post game podium, especially on the heels of the heavy lifting you did in the red zone, how in the first half, how frustrating was not getting off the field on third down in that third quarter. And I mean, you could see it on his face. I mean, there was a high level of frustration. And look, I think they were good teammates, as they should be when they're talking to the media and when they're front facing and guys seem to be accountable. I seem like everyone talked that you would want to talk in the post game, but how can you not be frustrated if you're the defense with how that offense played on Thursday night? And I think that caught up to them then as the game went on, and they weren't getting to Burrow to the degree that I think they needed to, quite frankly.
He's Luke Jones. We're discussing defense, and as it were, and the Wiggins thing, the injury, and just where we are with Marlon Humphrey, and also with Awuzie, who by the way, and I mentioned Jason Garrett. I even tweeted and socialed that I thought Jason Garrett did a nice job. He drafted Awuzie in the third round as a
True. I
Cowboy,
forgot
so
about that.
he
Yeah.
talked a lot about Cheeto.
Yeah.
And he made some nice plays. I mean, that guy's been a heck of an addition.
He has been. There's no doubt about it. We've talked about it a little bit in passing. And look, I mean, Humphrey, of course, missed time with the ankle, or not the ankle, the finger, had the big forced fumble inside the five against the Jets. So it's not as though he's been awful. I thought he was really bad early in the season. Which, and obviously he ended up missing some time, but even before then, I didn't think he was playing well. But I'll be honest with you, not discounting what Humphrey does when they go to dime and he moves inside and Hamilton's playing dime and he plays nickel and that impact. If we're just talking about him purely as an outside corner compared to Awuzie as an outside corner, I think Awuzie's played better than Humphrey. I absolutely think that. Problem is, and we saw this, with the critical pass interference that TJ Tampa committed. When Wiggins exits, Awuzie comes on the field, and now you're in a position where when you go dime, Humphrey's moving inside because, he and Hamilton are playing the dime and the nickel respectively. And now you have TJ Tampa on the outside when under normal circumstances, he's not out there in that spot. And that was just a bad PI. That was the right call. That was frustrating because that pass wasn't an uncatchable ball, but that pass was not going to be completed. He did not need to interfere there, and he did. And it was another pivotal play where they didn't get off the field on third down in that second half. So You look at it, and obviously, I mean, Cincinnati, I mean, they didn't have T. Higgins. It was pretty, I was surprised how much Burrow kept going to Tinsley. And that was pretty clearly the T. Higgins role in that offense. But, the silver lining is Pittsburgh doesn't have, other than Metcalf, doesn't have these weapons on the outside where if Wiggins doesn't play, that you feel like you're in deep trouble. But it's still not ideal. I mean, Wiggins, other than Hamilton, could argue Wiggins has been their second best defensive player this year. I think he's somewhere in that space. He's played well, very well at times this year. We're going to have to see about that. But for me, again, my biggest takeaway beyond he needs to be back as soon as possible is I was just disappointed. I thought their pass rush was taking some nice steps here in recent weeks, and that felt a little more early season pass rush, a little more than to my liking. So, especially against a Bengals offensive line that I'll give them credit. If you look at some of their numbers, they have gotten better since the beginning of the year where they were just awful. But, that was still that's a below average group. And you'd like to be able to be a little more disruptive than they were, just knowing the circumstances. I mean, to his credit, I thought Burrow moved around well enough. I was wondering how limited he would be in the pocket. Not that he's a guy that takes off and run, but he's still a guy that moves to, for
Well,
the
he didn't look
throwing lane.
hampered.
And
He didn't
yeah,
look. He
exactly.
didn't look like
He
a guy
looked
who hadn't played in 10 weeks.
right. But I was questioning what that would look like. But even with questioning that, there was still very much an expectation of you need to make things really uncomfortable for him. This is a guy who hasn't played a real football game in 2.5 months. And they did that to some extent in the first half. And, after that opening drive, it's not like he did a whole lot in that first half after that early, or that field goal on the opening drive where, their opening script was good until they got to the red zone anyway. But yeah, second half, I mean, that third quarter, he made some great throws. I mean, there's some plays there that you just tip your cap, right? I mean, Cincinnati, for as much as we've banged on their defense being this historically terrible group, I mean, they were scoring 30 plus points, multiple games with Joe Flacco. And, we saw Joe Flacco until the shoulder caught up to him the last couple of weeks. He was playing
Well,
good
let's
football.
talk about Chase. I mean, it doesn't matter. We could talk Wiggins, Humphrey, Awuzie,
I
bring
mean, Chase is,
McAllister and Rod Woodson
he's
back.
going
I
to get
mean,
his.
dude, he's
Yeah.
great.
Oh, of course. I mean, say what you want about him
He's
spitting on
great.
Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he's a knucklehead, and that's probably one of the nicer ways I could describe him as it pertains to that. But he's a generational talent. I mean, he's phenomenal. And like I said, I mean, Burrow threw to him 14 times. They only connected 7 times. I mean, you could tell their timing wasn't quite right. And there were also some good plays in there. I mean, there were a couple pass breakups in there as well. But he was going to get his, and then. Again, you just look at some of the other plays. I mean, that touchdown to Tanner Hudson, I mean, that was a great catch. I don't know what you want Kyle Hamilton to do differently there. I mean, could the coverage have been a smidge better? Sure. It's a contested catch. The guy made a one-handed catch. The Yoshivash play, I mean,
Well, to your point, Awuzie, Starks, they all had big breakups. I mean, they got in the way on plays that would have connected, aside from the laundry on a play that wouldn't have connected. But they play good defense at points where they were in
Yeah, I mean,
position. How
well,
about that?
and again, this is where we go back to,
There
and
weren't
you said,
busted plays, I'll say that. Nobody
yeah, I
ran
mean, it's not like
free.
they, I mean, what they did, they had the 43-yarder to Chase, right? And Yoshivash caught a 29-yard touchdown. I mean, those were the two big plays. The rest of it was, 6 yards, 7 yards.
Death by
They,
paper cut.
I thought they did a good job using Chase Brown out of the backfield as an extension of their running game. That. They ran the ball a little bit better on the Ravens than I would have liked to have seen, right? I mean, but that's kind of been the one thing about the Bengals offense that you gave them credit for. As much as they lose Burrow in week two and Jake Browning was just terrible early on. That's why they went out and got Flacco. Their running game got a lot better, so they did enough, right? I mean, it's to your point, like. I don't come away from this game thinking that, oh, the Ravens defense was awful in this game. They were bad in the third quarter, but gosh, you consider the spot that you put them in. And even looking at it in a big picture sense, other than the fact that we knew that Joe Burrow was, this is the first time he was playing in 2.5 months, it's Joe Burrow. It's Ja'Marr Chase. You go into that game, are you saying, 14 points scored, we'll get the job? No. And that's where we come back to. It's the offense, right? The defense had its warts. They weren't perfect. They weren't 2000-esque, right? I mean, certainly they needed to be better in the third quarter when, I mean, they just couldn't get off the field on third down. But you go back to that first half alone and like the defense right there, like that was the halftime conversation. Like if I'm on that team, the halftime conversation is defense, you did your part in the first half. Offense, you better come out and do some serious work in the second half because we're lucky that we're down 12-7 right now and not down 17 points right now. So, and they didn't do that in the second half. I mean, it's just that simple. So Burrow was, and the Bengals were going to get theirs offensively to some degree. And then again, when
Well, they
you
were the better
lose.
team all night, which is really the part where we're scratching our heads here the next 10 days, waiting
Sure.
for the Steelers saying it wasn't supposed to play that way at home.
Well, and that's why I said, look, I don't want this to be that the season's over or they can't win the division or they won't win the division or, but we've talked about it. We talked about this to the Jets game, even in victory, just how that looked and how that was unnerving. When you lose to the Bengals and the Jets, or and you play the way they did offensively against the Jets the 4 days earlier, I mean, what's the get right game at this point? These were supposed to be the get well games for your offense, and you saw how they played. Now, I don't think they're going to turn the ball over five times every game the rest of the way, but man, I mean, all bets are off at this point. It's funny, and this is, I'm working on this for BaltimorePositive.com. It was setting up to be one of those nights when you're sitting there watching the Chiefs lose another game in Dallas, and you're thinking, man, they're 6-6. I mean, their division hopes are completely shot. I mean, they were before Thursday, but especially now. But you look at that and you're thinking, wow, the Chiefs, I mean, it might not happen for them this year. You know me, I've been the guy that said over and over, you don't doubt Kansas City. You don't doubt Kansas City. They're 6-6. At some point, the math, you can't ignore the math, right? And
That still doesn't mean you want to be the division winner at
oh, of course
9-8
not.
and see
Of
them
course
here,
not. But
but to your point, they might not make the playoffs. I would agree with that.
now you look at and if the Ravens win, even if it's not like this overwhelming five touchdown boat race kind of victory or anything like that, like if they just win and they're 7-5 and they're leading the AFC North, and Kansas or Pittsburgh's playing Buffalo, and you see where Kansas City is, and we've seen the Bills look very mortal, and you're looking around and you're saying, man, they're smelling not like, oh, they're the favorite to win it all, but they're smelling different than those other teams. Instead, they just came right back to the pack of so much in the AFC of who's good, right? And when that happens against the Bengals and that defense specifically, I mean, it's just, I don't know. All bets are off. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know how many games they're going to win the like. I don't think they're going to lose. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Oh, they're going to lose out and they're going to be 6-11 and everyone's going to get fired." Like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But I can't sit here with any conviction and say that they're going to win 4 out of 5, which still kind of, we talked
We
about ten
said
and
four and
seven,
two last week. That's
right?
what we said, 4-2.
I don't know if they're showing signs that gives me a lot of confidence that they're going to do that when three of those games are on the road and the one game the quote, easier game of those five is Cincinnati, who you just lost to at
Well, how about
home.
any of this? Is that the offense doesn't look right, the quarterback doesn't look healthy, and the offensive line's not any good. No matter on their best day, it's.
The defense still has fair questions about the defensive line and the pass rush, right? That's felt better. And
This
then,
team is
like,
not the team we thought it was in August,
not a
and I
great
think we're
team.
at that
I mean, it's
point.
just not. I mean, you and I talked about it before this game. Because you made I think you had said I'm not sure if they're good, and I made the comment like I think they're good in the context of like being good enough to make the playoffs, but man, after Thursday night, I'm not even sure they're that right now. I mean they're on the outside looking in, and until we see pending the result of Pittsburgh
Oh,
Buffalo
they got
and
to
pending,
play their way in. They got
yeah,
5 games left against all kind of playoff
and.
caliber teams and a team that just beat them with a $50 million quarterback that's up right now. So, and you got to go there and do it, which is
Right.
never fun.
And this is where you go back to the reality of you were 1 in 5. The math does not change there. That 1 in 5 is with you the rest of the way. So, yeah, do I, from a true eyeball test, did I think they were always better than 1 in 5? Sure. That said, I think we all were looking at the eyeball test when they won 5 in a row and saying, it doesn't feel like they're a juggernaut in the midst of this 5-game winning streak. And they came crashing back to reality in the rest of the pack in the AFC, well, on Thursday night, big time. And again, the problem with that is, I mean, you're 6-6. You got 3-2 the rest of the way. You're 9-8. I mean, maybe. And by the way, that still might get it done.
Well, then you're rooting for the Bills
But
on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Let's start with
I
that,
mean,
because you better start
better
to
be
get the
rooting for the
Steelers some
Bills.
losses.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just.
You better get the Bengals a loss or two more, because like if the Bengals win next week and you see them again, they start to smell
Have you
themselves that
seen
they've won 3 in a row.
their interest? Look, I mean, they're still 4-8, right? I mean, the math is overwhelmingly against them, and that defense stinks. So, credit them for how they credit that defense. They deserve all the credit in the world for how they played Thursday night. They beat the Ravens, and they had something to do with those 5 turnovers, right? Other than the one where Lamar just, he pumps and the ball slips out of his
Hey,
hand. I
they
mean,
didn't have breakdowns either. And other than not being able to
played clean.
tackle Derrick Henry once or twice,
Played fairly clean. Yeah.
they played a good game.
Yeah.
And they
No,
gave
they
Lamar
deserve
hell
credit.
even on plays when they didn't catch Lamar.
Yeah. But I think what is interesting about the Bengals is do you know who they play next week? They play
Steelers.
Buffalo. They play
No,
Buffalo
they play
next week.
Buffalo. I'm sorry.
They play Buffalo. But man, you talk about this 3-game stretch for them, whether they make the playoffs or not. But they've already handed the Ravens a loss. Buffalo is a team that is, I mean, these teams have clashed in the playoffs. They've got a chance to play spoiler to Buffalo and really put Buffalo in a lot of peril. And then they host the Ravens. And then if they can get through that, you do look at their last 3 games, and I'm looking for their schedule in front of me. I have their game notes, and of course I'm
The
not
Bengals
finding
play
it.
the Bills, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the
Their last three
Cardinals, and the
games,
Browns. So they have the
I mean,
Dolphins, Cardinals, and Browns at the end. I thought it was we play the Steelers next week. They're done playing the Steelers, which
they're done. Yeah.
I didn't realize that, but yeah,
Remember,
I
they
didn't.
split. They won that Thursday night game, and then a couple weeks ago, Pittsburgh beat, Flacco didn't look good. I mean, they turned the ball over. They were bad in that game. So, look, they were 3-8. What are the odds of them winning 6 in a row? And then, I mean, if they do that, then boy, you're talking about potentially maybe they could be the
Well, the
miracle
Bills
nine and
have the
eight. If
Steelers this week and the Bengals next week, so the Bills are going to play a big role in this, right?
they are, sure. But that said, boy, they've got a chance here to completely. I mean, Ravens go there in 2 weeks and lose. And then you're not like, then you're okay. What were the results of the Pittsburgh games? What is going to happen against New England? I don't know if you saw him. Jordan Love, who is a polarizing figure as far as how he's perceived, he played a whale of a game against the Lions on Thanksgiving afternoon. I mean, so you're going there, week 17? No, I mean, knowing there could be 10 inches of snow on the ground? I mean, like, so it's.
And also, the
Again,
Packers would be playing for a bye, right?
I mean, you would assume they're playing for something, right? However, it's going to shape up there for them. But Micah Parsons, right? I mean,
That
so it's
tie'll kill
just,
them.
yeah, I mean, it's this is when you lose to the Bengals in the way that they did on Thursday night, not so much that I think they're going to turn it over 5 times every week because we know that's not going to happen, but all bets are off, man. I mean, I don't know. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I'm talking before like the early stages of the 5-game winning streak. To a man, I was feeling quite confident that they were going to win this division and make the playoffs. All bets are off
Yeah,
after
they
Thursday night.
shattered your confidence in them, I
I
can tell
have
from
no
Thursday night.
idea now. I have no idea. And to be clear, that's not me saying it's over and they won't, because I don't have a high
Well, you
degree of
still look at
confidence
these players and
in
say they have
Pittsburgh
good
either.
players. Now, when
Yeah.
are they going to emerge?
Well, and that's the
Where are
thing.
they? Where is Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley and Roquan Smith? Where are these veteran guys? Where's the offensive line?
I mean, the offense, yeah. I mean, the defense, we've talked about it. The Madubuike injury was massive. That was a massive loss for a group that wasn't necessarily a dynamic, dominant pass rush, right? We know
We
that.
took him for granted, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly shown his value. I mean, regardless of what his future is going to be, I mean, we don't know if he's going to play again at this point. But At least with the defense, you've seen growth and improvement. And again, I even Thursday night, like as disappointing as the third quarter was, I can't find so much fault in what they did when you see what they had to do in the first half, right? But this offense, and you said it, they've got all these. I mean, they've got a two-time MVP at quarterback. They've got a multi-time Pro Bowl tight end. They have a Pro Bowl left tackle. They have a Pro Bowl center. They have a Pro Bowl wide receiver in Zay Flowers. Now, a multi-time Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, who's not that guy anymore, but still makes plays, right? They have all these pieces that tell. And by the way, it's essentially the same group they had last year when this was a record-setting, historic level kind of
I feel
offense.
all that way, and I feel like Thursday night
And
they didn't have a quarterback that delivered the ball cleanly. I
I
feel like
mean, he
Lamar's
just,
not throwing the ball well, and
no,
that's got to
he,
change.
right. But I think what complicates that for me is when you keep coming back to, are they going to be able to fix all of this? Are you going to be able to get Lamar back on track? Are you going to be able to do all you need to do when you consider the state of this offensive line and how it's just not very good? And look, I don't think we've mentioned his name. You mentioned it in passing, like, okay, Emory Jones. All right, great. He's in a rotation with Voorhees now. I didn't see anything to be, I'm not saying I wouldn't play him ever again either, but he had a penalty. I mean, that's there are no, so I was talking to someone last week, with close ties to the team, and it's what you and I have said over and over and over. The idea is, if you truly think the answers are on the bench right now for this Ravens offensive line, you're sorely mistaken. They're playing their best. Let's say they're playing their best four and a half right now, because Voorhees and Emory Jones is finally at the point now where he's practiced 6 weeks and he's healthy and he's a third round pick. But you know what? He was a tackle in college. He's learning guard, right? I mean, there's a big learning curve just making that jump, let alone a position change. So, could he end up being the starter for the rest of the season? Sure. Does that mean I think he's going to be Ben Grubbs or Marshall Yanda at guard? No, absolutely not. So, they're going with what they have right now, and I don't know if that's going to be good enough. And that's just the simple truth. And they've got five games to go. We're going to see. The bar's still not extraordinarily high. Like, I don't think Pittsburgh's running the table. At the same time, you can't expect Pittsburgh to just lose out either. So, I don't know what's going to happen, Ness. I mean, it's the Thursday night shattered whatever confidence level I had in this team, and now it's like, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I still think the defense is certainly better than it was early in the season. I think it's a good defense. Not sure it's great. And on the flip side, their offense, I mean, it's just an absolute, it feels broken. Because even when they'd have good plays, it turned into something bad, or someone's open and something bad happens, ball gets
Well,
knocked in the air,
the
whatever. I
quarterback's
mean, it's
not
just,
practicing normally either,
and that's
right?
not, and that doesn't help. I mean, like, we'll go back to what we said. And I know we started talking about the defense, but it's defaulted back to the offense, because the offense is, that's what lost them the game. The quarterback and the offense lost them the game on Thursday night. I mean, there's no question about that. But this is where you hope, and this applies for Nate Wiggins now too, but this is where you hope. You've got the long weekend. These guys will get a chance to exhale, have a little bit of pumpkin pie, a little bit of a respite, and it's a 5 week sprint. And it's got to be a sprint, because if it's not, then it is only going to be 5 weeks, and then it's going to be over,
And it's
and you're
got
going
to
to
be
go
four
home.
and one, right? It can't
I
three and
mean,
two.
it really.
In this division, I guess,
I mean,
maybe.
well, here's where it can be 3-2 if you beat Pittsburgh twice, right? I mean, you could, you'd lose two out of three to the other, but you beat Pittsburgh twice. That probably, well, I mean, you kind of look at it. I
Well, if
mean,
you lose to Cincinnati and they win out, Cincinnati's got a really easy schedule at the end, so.
But that's asking a lot. That's asking a lot of that defense to,
Well, they beat the
but they,
Ravens on
but they did
Thursday.
it
That's
Thursday
all I
night,
know,
so
Luke.
who the
That's all
heck
I know.
knows?
Luke
Yeah.
Jones is here. He is Baltimore
I hear
Luke.
you.
I am Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. We are going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in December many, many times and some new places as well. So I'm looking forward to that. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at GBMC, who took great, great care of me, making sure that I don't have colon cancer. So there is your words of wisdom for everybody out there. Get over and see Dr. Oscari and let him wake you up with the good news. news that you don't have cancer and that you finally got the colonoscopy thing done. So all of this eating this weekend should remind all of you to take care of your gastrointestines and take care of your body, take care of your health. It is the holidays. I'm taking care of my health with eggnog and cookies, amongst other things. Big appreciation for everybody who made it through the holiday with us. We're getting up on the Steelers next week. We've got some great conversations here through the holidays. I've got a lot of local guests. I've been very inspired by my little AI journey here of late. Putting it all together for the holidays here, man. All these years into it, 27 years into doing this thing. My thanks to our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter for sponsoring our 27th tastiness treats, which I'm going to bring back for the holidays, except for the peach cake, because you can't get. I'm going to insert eggnog for peach cake, the boozy eggnog from Jenny's ice cream. So I'll do that instead of the peach cake. I am Nestor. He is Luke. The Ravens are 6-6, and we're still Baltimore positive. Happy holidays.